When I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God His Son not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly buried, He bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. more time. And in sync, my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, oh, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art.
There, Sister Becky. We just want to welcome you to the house of the Lord this morning, and those who are not able to be with us but are streaming, we just welcome you too. Let's sing that song, When the Redeemed Are Gathering In. We'll speed it up just a little bit this morning. I am thinking of the rapture in our blessed home on high, when the redeemed are gathering in. I will raise the heavenly anthem in that city in the sky, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin. I will shout, I will sing, when the redeemed are gathering in. There will be a great procession over on the streets of gold, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, what music, oh, what singing, o'er the city will be rolled, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin. I will shout and I will sing, when the redeemed are gathering in. Saints will sing redemption story with their voices clear and strong, when the redeemed are gathering in. Then the angels all will listen, for they cannot join that song, when the redeemed are gathering in. When the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin. I will shout and I will sing, when the redeemed are gathering in. Then the Savior will give orders to prepare the banquet board, when the redeemed are gathering in. And we'll hear His invitation, come ye blessed of the Lord, when the redeemed are gathering in. Now when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin. I will shout and I will sing, when the redeemed are gathering in. Now saints will sing redemption story with their voices clear and strong, when the redeemed are gathering in. Then the angels all will listen, for they cannot join that song, when the redeemed are gathering in. Now when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin. I will shout and I will sing, when the redeemed are gathering in. Come on. Oh, now when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow. Oh, how we'll shout and how we'll sing,
glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. Heaven is near and the way groweth here. Oh, now I'm in the glory land way. Oh, now I'm in the glory land way. Glory land way. One more time. Oh, now I'm in the glory land way. Yes, I'm in the glory land way. And heaven is near and the way groweth clear. Oh, I'm in the glory land way. So now in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. Oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. Oh, and when we come in the name of Jesus, tell me who can stand before. In the precious name of Jesus, we have the victory. So in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. Oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, the demons will have to flee. In the name of Jesus, tell me who can stand before. Now in the precious name of Jesus, we have the victory. When we come, oh, now when we come, in the name of Jesus, tell me who can stand before. And precious name of Jesus, we have the victory. Sing this one more time. So now in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. One more time. Oh, in the name of Jesus, tell me who can stand before. Oh, in the precious name of Jesus, so we have the victory. Amen. I can tell y'all came to church this morning. Amen. Like I said, we are happy to have you here this morning, but we'll go ahead and change the order of our service. Let's go ahead and keep it in the same key, but to slow it down. See, I need thee every hour. So I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. Oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Yeah. my Savior, I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour. Most Holy One, oh, make me Thine indeed, Thou blessed Son. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee, every hour I need. My Savior, I come to Thee.
Amen. If you would continue to play that softly there, sister. Like I said, we're going to take our prayer requests to the Lord at this time. I have several. We just want to remember Sister Shirley Lingle. She had a special prayer request, so we just want to remember her. Also, just remember Brother Ben and family who are traveling back today. So we just want to remember them. Continue to remember Sister Cindy Walters, and she's still in Ohio dealing with the affairs of her sister. So we just want to remember that. And also, just remember Brother David Whitlock and family. They're not here with us. Brother David is having to work, so we just want to remember him. Brother Sam and Sister Nadia are in Richmond, Virginia today, so just remember them as well, and that they'll have safe travels. Sister Melody Cross and the Cross kids are not feeling well this morning, so just remember them. And also Brother Barry coming down sick this morning too, so just remember that need. I know we all have unspoken prayer requests too, so just hold that close to your heart as we go to the Lord, because I know He'll touch it. If I could have Brother Jason come up and pray over these needs.
Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before Your throne of grace once again this morning. Lord, happy to be in Your house, Lord. Lord, just happy to just sit at Your feet and just have You speak to us, Lord. And Father, we have read many requests, Father, and I just place my hand on them, Father, knowing that You're in full control, Lord, that You're more than willing to come and meet our needs. And we remember our pastor this morning coming down sick. We just ask You just touch his body. Lord, whatever that bug is, whatever it may be, I just ask that Your healing virtues would just flow through him this morning. Lord, the different ones that were read, Lord, we just ask You go to each individual one. And I know, Lord, I didn't look around, but I know hands are raised as well this morning. Many needs amidst our midst. Lord, I just pray for Brother McBride as he would come and he'd speak the word of life this morning. Lord, that You just remove him out of the way, and Lord, that our needs would be met through the preaching of Your word, Father. So we just ask that You would just come in a special way this morning. Take Brother Mitch, move him aside, Lord, as he would just lead us in worship, Father. May he just stay tender, Lord, to the moving of Your spirit, Lord. We just want what You want for this morning, Lord. Just ask a blessing on the service now. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may have your seats. Go ahead and put it in the key of B flat. I was asked to sing this song this morning. I sang it a few weeks back, but it just still rings true. And I love this song, and the person who requested it really wanted to hear it. So let's sing Peace of God. Oh, peace of God, cover me. Cover me.
cover me. Peace of God, cover me. Through the storm, cover me.
Sing that again.
So peace of God, cover me. Cover me. Cover me. Peace of God, cover me. Through the storm, cover me. Only in you I am safe. Only in you I'm secure. Only in you I find peace. So cover me. Cover me. Cover me. I am hurting. Cover me when I'm not strong. Cover me when I am going through the storm. Cover me when all seems hopeless. Cover me when my faith is gone. Let the peace that passes all I understand. Just cover me, cover me. So peace of God, cover me, cover me, cover me. Peace of God, cover me. Cover me when I'm not strong. Cover me when I am going through the storm. Cover me when all seems hopeless. Cover me when my faith is gone. Let the peace that passes all I understand when I'm hurting. So cover me when I am hurting. Cover me when I'm not strong. Cover me when I am going through the storm. Cover me when all seems hopeless. Cover me when my faith is gone. Let the peace that passes all I understand. Just cover me. Cover me.
Sing this one more time.
So peace of God, cover me. Cover me. Cover me. Oh, peace of God, cover me. The storm, cover me.
Amen. Let's put it. it in the key of F there, sister. If you would stand with me, we'll go ahead and have our ushers come forward at this time. We'll take up our tithes and offering.
Precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Just as Brother Dennis comes this morning, let's sing that song, I Feel the Pull. At night I lay in bed and I begin to cry, and my mind just fails to know exactly why. I can't explain with tongue or pen the Spirit's groanings deep within. It must be God here in my soul, 'cause I feel the pull. I feel the pull. I hear the call, and I know His Spirit. I feel the pull. I feel the pull. I hear the call, and I know His Spirit's moving. I hear the
Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise, saints. I'm not sure, but I actually think that that's my favorite song. Amen. I need to spend some more time with it so I can learn all of the lyrics, but amen, it's always just held a special place within me because I know we all feel that pull. Amen. So we're grateful that God has helped us and blessed us to be able to be here this morning. And we pray that now that we're here, His will be done. Amen. I know that there's many needs among us. And we're here because we believe that we serve a God that's able to meet our needs. Amen. So let us just bow our hearts together and our heads as we go before Him in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you are, all that you've helped us over these years, Lord, to come to know in a reality. And you are still allowing us, Lord, to have further experiences with you, Lord, as you see fit for our maturity and for our growth. Thank you for all of the understanding and revelation that you've opened up to our hearts, Lord, to help this journey to become more bearable. Lord, in the times of bewilderment and lack of understanding, Lord, and confusion, by your grace, Lord, you came and comforted our hearts through your word, Lord, and various means by your spirit. You've allowed us to be a comfort and a help to one another. Lord, you bring your living ministry amongst your people, Father, and you speak a word in season to our hearts and to our situations, Father, that encourage us, Lord, that, Lord, helps our tears to be dried up, Heavenly Father, and just gives us that desire to keep pressing on. That's what you've been doing for us this entire time, Lord. So our being here this morning can only be attributed to all that you have done for us, Father. And to that, we say thank you. We love you, Lord. And I know for myself, I can't always just say that without having to say, Lord, help us to love you more. You deserve more. You deserve our best, Father. You've given us your best, Lord. God, and you're bringing us into that place to where, as you desire, we love you with all of our hearts, all of our mind, and all of our strength. This is your service, Lord. These are your people. May you bless our precious brother, Barry, Lord. The prayer has already gone up, Lord, before you for him from the hearts of all of his congregation, Father. And I'm just adding mine, Lord, that you touch my precious brother, Lord, and bless him and heal him, Lord. It's a light thing to you. And I believe healing is already working, Father. Bless his faith, Lord. May he have a speedy recovery. And may you have your way this morning, Father. In Jesus Christ's holy and precious name, we ask all these things and we pray. Let the church say amen. Amen. God bless you all. It's a privilege to be in the service of the Lord, and it's a privilege to be here. I really do enjoy coming just because of my experiences. Of course, I've not had a chance to get to know everybody personally, but just on the level of the fellowship of the Spirit, it's always extremely good to me. So may the Lord have his way this morning. In our Bibles, let's turn to Acts chapter 7. And I'd like to start at verse 54. Acts 7, starting at verse 54. And of course, this is Stephen, anointed by God. And he's having to speak words that were very grievous to those that heard it, to that audience that was there. His words were very grievous because We all know that this is not a flesh and blood affair. So what was troubled were the spirits that were controlling the men that actually were being spoken to now by the Spirit of God. And in verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. It says, but he being full of the Holy Ghost, it's very important. But he being full of the Holy Ghost looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And this is the notable part here, saints. And when he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. May the Lord bless his word, saints. You may be seated. Glory. So I'm going to deal with something on this morning that I'm being dealt with on. And by the grace of God, it's helped me to maintain a right focus, right? And the more I yield to the mind of God, there is a strength. There's an actual strength that begins to come in. And it enables us to be able to live and think in ways that are not humanly possible given the circumstances. Glory. So, it's a lot of content I have here, but I pray the Lord help me and guide me so we're not here for 6 hours. Y'all really going to start praying now, huh? Lord, bless Brother McBride to be able to condense it down. Amen. But as with any subject, whenever God begins to open it up, it just unfolds and unfolds, and it can go into so many different directions. But as I was coming here this morning, I've never opened up with this scripture as I've been dealing with this subject, and I've been dealing with it now for several weeks. But as I was coming here, this scripture came to my heart, and it just kind of like laid there, and I felt to open up with it by the grace of God. So as a title, I want to deal with adoption behavior, and as a subject, love. Amen. And I want to take my time, but I want to kind of just work through a few things here as we lay a foundation, and we'll get only as far as we can, and then we'll have to stop at a certain point, I'm sure. The prophet makes this statement in a message called Love, 1958, March the 14th. He says, that is the great need the world is dying for. He says, and God is love. Now, you find in the church that what hindered the church has been the wrong conception of love. Right? So when our understanding of love is not correct, it brings about a hindrance. He says, now love, there's two different types of love that's real love. One of them in the Greek world, the Greek word is called agapo. He says that's God's love. And then a perverted love from that is filial love, which means human love. Filial comes from the word fellowship. The filial love is what you have for your wife, and a man might flirt with her and ensouled her. And notice how that love acts. Watch how it behaves. And you shoot his brains out over her. He says that's what filial love will do. He says it accompanies jealousy and many other things goes with it. So because it's a perverted love, then evil spirits are able to anoint through that. And here he brought out an example of a man's wife being ensouled. And I'm going to say it may not get to the extent of using a gun to shoot, right? But if the love of God is not properly in a person's heart, it'll bring thoughts. And even though there might be a refraining of action, if the Lord don't help us, the full thing is played out in our minds. You understand? And that's not even acceptable. Many times people find safety within their thoughts. Well, if I think it and I don't express it, I don't say it, I don't act upon it, and I'm doing good. In whose sight? Because the prophet let us know that our thoughts are heard louder in heaven than our words are upon the earth. So in heaven, our thoughts are screaming, hey! And we think it's all concealed. It's concealed amongst humans, right? Unless God anoints. Because as we can see in the prophet's ministry, once God came down and he was there to anoint the prophet in that way, he says you couldn't hide your thoughts if you tried to. Because now the king is here. Right. But whenever God didn't anoint him like that, he wasn't able to do that. And we say, praise the Lord. So I'm going to read on here. He says, but agape love, for that same action, agape love will make you pray for his sinful soul. He says, that's the difference between the two loves. God's love is the beginning of love. It's the fountain of love. And the church today, he says, is lacking in that. That real agape love that makes you have love, he says, for your enemies. There's a training that God allows each one of us to go through, saints. And it's a real life training. It's not a simulation. Amen. Our training ground is real life situations. Right? Throughout the course of our lives, none of our lives in here has been easy. And right now, there might be extreme turmoil that's going on within the minds and the hearts of some. Because we're in a battleground, right? Greatest battle ever fought is in the mind, right? And especially, you know, we're closer now to going home than what we ever were in our entire lives. So the battle is becoming more heated. God is allowing us to be tried in ways. It pushes us to what in our own thoughts, in our own minds, I can't take no more. I can't do this no more. You know, and unless God helps us, saints, we'll begin to buckle. But it's nothing that happens out of our own strength at no time. Amen. Our being here this morning is not due to our own doing. Amen. God put it in our hearts to have a desire to be here this morning in church. Can we say prayer? How many thank God for that, saints? Amen. No matter how hard your life might be at this time, I like to be real. Now, when we come to church, we put on our best, right? We become professional maskers. Going through a whole lot, may have just finished a not so good conversation or something happened that troubled you or whatever. But whenever you come amongst the saints, you don't want to wear, as they say, your feelings on your sleeves. I know I don't, right? So then we got all this going on the inside, but then when we see one another, we want to be able to kind of not let on, not be able to give any indication of what we're really going through or how we're really feeling or what we're really thinking. But when it comes to God, he wants us to have the real deal. He wants us to be able to be in a place by his grace to where the Holy Ghost has such a control until what the Bible calls for is just being being lived out naturally by nature. When you go through situations, that ain't the time to try to remember scripture. Praise God. When Stephen was being stoned, saints, amen, he had done nothing wrong. And he was a sin-born man just like you and I. But the key was, the Bible says, he was full of the Holy Ghost. And how many realize the Bible also lets us know that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost? The Lord brought something to my attention back there, saints, and it's a real gem to me. Because, you know, as we minister on this morning, and as you hear many other sermons and what have you, you know, we always, as the bride should do, right, we line ourselves up with the word. We allow the word to search us and to help us to see where we really are, regardless of what we think or how we speak about ourselves. Isn't that right? Amen. But now in the midst of this, the devil, his one of his main punches that he pulls when we have failures, when our attitudes are not quite right, when our responses are not quite right, then he'll take that and he'll drill that. Glory. And through that, what he'll try to do is cause you to come to believe you've never had a real experience with God. He tries to erase all the good in that moment, in that instance, and have you drowned within your present failure. But the reality of it is, we're God's children. We're all a work in progress. And we don't always get it right. God allows failure as an opportunity for growth. Because many times we have a hard time accepting our present state. Sometimes we put ourselves on pedestals, man. You know how it is. You do good for a week. You're praying like you should. You're reading your Bible and whatever, you know. And if the Lord don't help us, a little hint of a self-righteousness kind of slips in. You know, and then the Lord might allow you to come across somebody that's not doing too good or maybe has a failure or whatever. We're all susceptible to this, because I want to be fair in what I say. The only difference between people's failures or weaknesses that sometimes become public, meaning a lot of people begin to know about it. And as that news travels or whatever, it's like, oh my, what? Man, are you serious? I thought, you mean to tell me? You understand? But the only difference is theirs was made known and yours is still kept secret. Glory to God. That's why the Bible says when we find a brother or a sister overcoming a fault, he says this is how you approach in the spirit of meekness and humility. He says, considering yourself. Amen. Why would God want our focus at that time to be on ourselves when we're trying to go and help a brother or a sister that has a fault that's been made known? Because God wants us to always be aware that could be you. You're not strong enough. You're not smart enough. You don't know enough of the word to be able to stand on your own. Amen. We're standing, all of us, only by the grace of God. Amen. And many times in those failures, that's where the greatest victories come from. Amen. When the Lord allows somebody to fall and they become broken and their mind and everything begins to be refocused back on him like it should, amen, God comes and gives strength to that person, amen, and enables them to rise again, lets them know I love you and I forgive you. Amen. Now go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Amen. Every one of us in this room are recipients of that love in that way. Amen. So when the enemy tries to come in and allow and cause us to take on these wrong frames of mind toward people and situations and downfalls and whatever, may the Lord help our hearts and minds to be brought back to these things so that our behavior can be acceptable to the King. So now, on the human side, because we're human, we're not made out of brick. Even though deity dwells in us, you know, the Lord, we're still growing, we're still maturing. We still have more things to come to understand in a reality. So even with the Holy Ghost now, I want you to plead that this is the gem I'm talking about. Even with the Holy Ghost, we can still fall short of the expectations of God. When God allows us to go through our training, he already knows what the outcomes are going to be. Meaning what we're going to have to endure. What's going to be the results of our battles inside of us. You know how many complexes we have in this room this morning? Imagery that the enemy has carefully painted through situations and circumstances. And many of us live in our lives and we look around the walls and the enemy just paints this picture. And that's how a complex is formed. The enemy takes multiple situations and just a range of things, you know, and just brings it all together to try to paint a certain picture in our minds. Lock us into that, because then now if we're not careful, that then becomes locked in and becomes a cycle of thought. And you begin to live in that world. And Brother Branham, he said clearly, it'll take God to bring you out. Notice the prophet here. Standing in the gap. We're very familiar with this. I'm just taking the time just to highlight it, to bring it into what we're talking about. He says, now to us, he says, to get close now to what I want to say. And even though he's talking about this, we can begin to think on our situations, our lives, the things that we're wrestling with at this very moment. Things that are tied to forgiveness, memories. The enemy uses our spirit, right? He uses it against us, right? When he wants you to be hurt, he'll try to work in that memory area, in that spirit, and bring up a memory. And the next thing you know how it is when you remember something. It ain't just a picture that come in your mind, but it's almost like you reliving the whole thing again. Like you done went back in time and how it made you feel. You might even start crying. Or, now he ain't going to help to bring good memories. But I'm just saying with a good memory, right, you might be riding in your car and you might start just smiling and might even start laughing. And call somebody else to look over at you and like, what's going on? I don't hear no music on in the car or whatever. Why are they laughing and smiling? You know, but depending on what the thought is, it triggers certain emotions. And Satan tries to use that against us. Right? So we live in that world, and if we find that certain things have become so bitter and so harsh and so severe until when those memories come up, it causes you now to act out in a way. How many know it's not right to shun people? No matter, listen now, it's got a twist to it. No matter how bad they've done you, no matter how hurt you ever was by the, you think about the person that you feel hurt you the most. The thing that every time you think about it, it just presents that struggle. Right? You have to forgive that person. But you have to allow God to forgive that person through you. That means you and God have to come into that uniting. Praise God. Because we're not able to do it. Because we're human. But when he takes control, he's able to forgive people and love people through us. That's just not possible to just the average human that don't have that kind of a help. Now, I'm saying that because the prophet says here, he says, could we stand now? I'm preaching, he says, to myself in this. Could we stand and see a human being that's blind, physically blind, and know that he's walking over a cliff? Could we, in our state of mind that we're in this morning, could we stand and see a blind man walk over a cliff blind and not try to warn him? He says, it would be there. He says, would be so cruel. We would be so indifferent, listen, in our heart. Could you imagine a person getting so indifferent that he could almost, notice what he says here, laugh and see a blind man that cannot see and can't help himself deliberately walk over a cliff? He says, that would be a bad thing. He says, do nothing about it. And now he's being just totally honest and very transparent. He says, well, to my brethren world over, I want to make this confession. I humbly say it, that that's just about what I was doing or fixing to do. Ho, 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 Brother Branham. You saying, brother, that you dealt with indifference? That's exactly what he's saying. To the point, he says, to where my little heart was becoming a little cold and calloused. He says, I was just about to do what I gave the example of. Why? Watch this, saints. I had been preaching for years. I become an old man and an old veteran preacher and had a lot of, he says, hard battles. Hard battles with who? It was with demons, but those demons were acting through people. So now I want to be careful to say this. Again, for whatever the right now hardest battles that you may be dealing with or facing, or the lingering things that may be lingering in your heart and your mind, in respect to just situations, I'm going to say it like this, that the Lord allowed you to have. Whatever has come to us, whatever battles we've ever experienced, whenever we've been hurt the most, that's causing us to even right now remember and know, Lord, I need help. I'm hearing this word being preached, Lord, and it's helping me to be able to see where I'm really at. This issue has not been properly resolved in my heart. The Lord allows you to come into those places and allow those situations to come to you. How else is his word going to be put on display? He said, love your enemy. How you going to do that if all you got is friends? So then who is the one that permits enemies to rise? So as Brother Branham is talking about this, he's talking about all the things that God allowed to be introduced into his life. Hard battles. Dealing with demons, but coming through people. Within a household. The enemy will come right in. Glory. Huh?
Amen.
And he'll allow frictions, arguments, complexes, and all sorts of things by the permission of God. Real love not being able to be on display and expressed. And the reason why is because God wants us even now to see ourselves in light of his mirror and see the need for this real love to be expressed. And I want to make sure the gem I was talking about is understood. Brother Branham is feeling like this, being full of the Holy Ghost. And maybe I'm scarred, he says. All cut up on the inside, he says, from fights. Because my lot that the Lord gave me was not back to kiss the babies and to marry the young and to bury the old, but it was to hold a two-handed sword in my at the battlefront against the wiles of paganism and demonology and the powers of darkness and fight it with the word of God till I seen the enemy defeated. He says, I've been cut deep many times. And even as he was preaching in this service, we know that Brother Way was in this service, right? The brother that was anointed by an evil spirit, the prophet had done no wrong. It was just that an evil spirit was on the brother. And you, listen now, how many realize that demons bring hatred? Demons bring indifference. Glory to God. Amen. So listen now, as you search your own, as you allow the word, I'm going to say, to search you. And if you find that there is a deposit of a grudge or of a dislike or whatever it is that doesn't come from our Lord. Amen. We ain't going to sugarcoat it now. It's a devil that brings those feelings that makes you harbor things against people. Amen. That ain't the Holy Ghost at no time. Now, spirit, once you open up yourselves to it, it'll drop right down in your mind just like it did with Eve, and it'll make you reason that thing out and almost justify your frame of mind, your actions and all. Amen. But when you take it back, when you allow the Lord, when you're in the presence of the Lord, that don't hold. Glory, you know full well at those times, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm wrong. This is not acceptable behavior before you, Lord. And it's not just a quick gathering of ourselves. And well, you know, the word said this morning, so let me try to behave myself. That's filthy rags. Amen. We got to go and fight. In prayer and labor. Amen. Glory. For birth. Amen. Now listen, I'm not taking away the Holy Ghost from nobody, but for a birth of this part of the word to be released in our lives by the Holy Ghost, be established and rooted and become a part of who we are. The message is riddled with these spirits. Justified under a religious cloak. Amen. Forgive me. I'm sorry. But Brother Branham said, the statue of a perfect man, all those virtues, it ain't just good enough to know about them. Huh? To be able to repeat them verbatim, to sound like a polished message scholar. That don't mean nothing. Brother Branham says that God, what he's looking for, he says these virtues must be living. They must be proven to be in the individual. Meaning they're alive. It's a part of who they are now. Amen. God has molded and shaped this person's character. Amen. And he's become so alive and so increased within the individual's life until now it's him. Glory to God. It's the Holy Ghost expressing his own life through you and I. Amen. He says that's the individual that goes in a rapture. He said, and that's the church that goes in a rapture. Amen. Praise the Lord. So it's not good enough for Brother McBride to preach it. I say I'm being ministered to. This has to be lived. So there, before there's a resurrection of life, there has to be a death. He says God must first send forth a killing before we can see a resurrection into a newness of life. So we have a daily sentence, even spoken by Paul. He says, all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. So this is not a matter of, and if you allow this to rest on this, this is how many people get stuck. Right? Because then things begin to be weighed on who's right and who's wrong. Right? But when it comes to God, it don't matter how wrong the other person is. God is still, he has a requirement for you and I as sons and daughters of God. Can we say praise the Lord? Oh, my. Man. How many remember the sister whose husband was wayward? The prophet talked about her on several occasions. And man, she had a real experience with God. Glory. And God allowed his daughter to be put to the extreme test, day in and day out. She couldn't get away from that world, from that life. God allowed, listen, that life brought so much heartache, so much burden. It was such a weight to that sister's spirit. And God let it go, and he let it go, and he let her live in that place for quite some time. Her being in that situation, her husband being a man that drunk and was a worldly man, you realize that he was that way for her sake? Many times, unless God helps us to see things in the right perspective, we'll become locked in to all these wrong views. And you will fail to realize that the reason why the Lord is allowing, because for one, the Lord is allowing this person to be this way, be it at a job, whatever it may be, whatever it may pertain to, he's allowing that to be that way for your good, for your growth. Opportunities for you to be able to excel. Hurt, troubled on a daily basis because what's working in her heart is the Lord. And what's working in her husband's heart is a demon. But notice this. When he was with his friends, they're talking about how many real Christians they know. And the dominating tone became there is no such thing as a real Christian. Man, I want you to understand, saints, not only was that for her good, but it was for her husband's good, because God, through that, was just going to work something that was just unimaginable. I don't know about you, brothers, but I've seen a real Christian. She's at home right now in my house. Glory. So the whole time he's giving her trouble, and him being bound by that demon is causing her all sorts of heartache, stress. Man, it drove her to her knees on countless occasions. And she was preaching to him. And he actually saw a real reflection of what he never told her with his mouth. Keep living, saints. Amen. In the midst of adversity. Amen? Amen? Amen. Listen, the Lord, he wants to elevate us into such a realm and a place to where we're not even able. Like we just become so departed from this life and so caught up with him. Until our minds just are able to stay in the place. His mind becomes the thoughts that we dwell upon. Right? Because only then can we properly deal with situations, unfortunate, undesirable situations in the earth in the right way. he's being preached to. And he hears the word. He sees it. He says, I got a Christian at home. I'll show you. They go home. They say, now, even though they were drinking, they weren't drunk. He says, now we're going to act real drunk. Right? Because I want to show you guys what I'm talking about. So they go in the house. You know the story. Fix me some food. Brother Branham said he knew to ask for the things they had in the refrigerator. Fix us some ham and eggs. She said, okay, honey. So now they're putting on a show. Right? Now, he didn't know. Oh, my. This goes deep. He didn't know that he was being led of the Holy Ghost to even enter into that frame of mind to come about. Let's do it in this way. So now they're carrying on, acting, you know, or what have you. She fixes the food, lays it before each one of them. So now he's still acting. He says, you know, I don't like my eggs like this. Slap it on the floor. Just come on, guys. So they get up. And they see what happened. Now they know what they were. They know what they were accustomed to seeing the response being in their words. Right? So they, you know, at that time they acting drunk, but they looking real carefully, watching. They watching her. They watching all of her responses and everything. People are watching you, saints. Amen. Where else are they going to be able to see real love? So they watching, they acting, but they watching carefully, you know. Now they laid out on the chairs and whatever. They're watching, and now they quiet. They get a little quiet because they want to be able to hear also. So then she walks over to where the plate is on the ground, and she picks it up, and she begins to apologize. Not because she's remembering what the Lord told me to do this, that, and the other, but it's become a part of who she was. It brought about her behavior. It wasn't a put on. You understand? And she begins to apologize. Honey, I'm sorry that I didn't do it right. She says, I'll make you some more. And she picks it up and she goes in the kitchen. And Brother Branham says she begins to, listen, she's a real woman. It's not that she wasn't hurt. It's not that she wasn't feeling the full range of emotion that any one of us would feel if we were in a similar situation. Amen? But the governing factor of her soul. Amen? It was key, it was governing everything and keeping everything in check. Amen? And whereas her response seemingly would be justified to just let loose and just, you know, spaz out. Amen. Because he was really there. She began to cry because she was hurt. But she obviously came to a place to realize, Lord, it's in your hands. Lord, you're with me. You love me and I love you. And as she's crying, she begins to sing that song. Must Jesus bear this cross alone and all the world go free. But there's a cross for everyone. There's a cross for you and me. Glory. Amen. You know, she was preaching. Her life was thundering, saints. The presence of God was in that house. You understand? Amen. And all of a sudden, the atmosphere began to shift. Amen. Listen. And those men's hearts began to be penetrated. Amen. The display of God in his daughter. You know what it did, saints? It actually brought the salvation of all of those men in that house. And that was the ordained circumstance that God ordained for that to come about within. Their salvation was going to come from that situation ordained from the foundation of the world. Her prayers were now answered. Her home was changed through the power of love. Amen. Which brought about the behavior that allowed God to manifest itself. Amen. We have to allow God to move. Same thing with the brother that came to Brother Branham. You know, he said his wife had a demon on her. She didn't believe like he believed. And he took on the wrong frame of mind. His responses wasn't right, but he thought they were right somehow in a religious frame of mind. But all he was doing was adding fuel to the fire. He says, Brother Branham, we about to have a divorce. He said, I can't cast the devil out of her. You can never cast a devil out with a wrong spirit. No matter how right a person is in their stance, their beliefs, their words, their doctrine, whatever, if you got a wrong spirit on you, no devil is going to be budged, even in the pulpits. Can we say praise the Lord? The right collection of words, quotations, and scriptures and all can be ministered. Amen? But if it's not governed by God, if love is not the source, it will be rendered ineffective. My. Brother Branham said, well, brother, you're going about it the wrong way. He says, you know, just kind of do what I tell you to do. When she begins, now notice this now. He said, when she begins to act like that, that's when you begin to compliment her more and express your love to her more. That don't sound right, do it? Somebody being absolutely mean to you and whatever the case might be, saying hurtful and hard things and whatever, and the prophet is giving him an instruction and saying, well, when she begins to act like that, you just begin to show her more love. He took heed. He settled down, began to pay attention. He took heed. He went home. And he yielded himself. I'm going to say it in this way. He yielded himself to God's instruction. And when he yielded himself to God's instruction, he allowed God to come down and began to do before his eyes what he never thought was possible. He had become defeated in his own efforts. Amen? To the point to where he had come to the, look, we're going to get a divorce. But when he allowed God to have his way, he came back with a report after 2 to 3 weeks. He says, Brother Branham, my home has been revolutionized. He says that she don't even seem like the same wife. But what brought about that difference? What brought about that change? It was love. But it was the love of God. Oh, my. And I'm going to touch on a few things here, saints, and I feel in my heart that I'm having to kind of draw it down. Brother Branham says in the Message of Love, 1957, May the 19th in the evening time, he says, and if you'll learn to love and to be kind, he says, to everybody. He says, and to be gentle, have patience. He says, it'll even make your home life different. No matter how wrong anybody is. You know, we all have our little quirks, our little pet peeves and whatever, you know. And if things ain't done in this precise way or out of this, things get out of this precise order, whatever, it kind of, we become irritable. What's so hard? I said put it right here. What's so hard about that? I said do it like this. Why can't you get that? Why do I have to say it so much? Right? And the enemy comes in and slips in through those moments, and then we begin to express something that's quite wrong. Notice how he says this. Glory. He says, it'll even make your home life different. He says, it'll make your associations different. Notice what he says here. He says, God will honor you. How many want to be honored by God? Amen. He's saying, if you go about your day and you allow this to be the leading factor, he says, God will honor you. He says, now I've tried. So I want to go here, saints, to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis 37, and I want to start at verse 11. Genesis 37, starting at verse 11. And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the same. It says, and his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, verse 13 of chapter 37 of Genesis, and Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, here am I. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, he says, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him. And we shall see what will become of his dreams. It's very interesting to me, saints, that the Bible says that Israel told Joseph to go and see what his brothers were, where they were and what they were doing. Right? What caused his father to give him that instruction? It was God. Israel didn't know he was being led by the Holy Ghost. Joseph didn't know that he was being directed by the Holy Ghost. Amen? Directed into what? Directed into the hardest battles of his entire life. His brethren. The Lord allows issues and things to arise in churches, in families. Amen? It's his way of doing things because of what he needs to bring out of the situation. It was God's way of doing things when he allowed those series of events to take place in Job's life. Can we say praise the Lord? Job was minding his own business, living with God, amen, enjoying life as a son of God. And God brought Job to Satan's attention in the way that he did. And God allowed Satan to go in and begin to deal with Job in all those ways. What was the end result, saints? After he was tried, he says, then shall I come forth as gold. Amen. So God was leading Joseph into this string of trials that was going to be initiated through this situation. So here he is. He's coming, and he has this coat of many colors. Who gave him that coat of many colors? Amen. God inspired that be given to him. But look, it was one of the very things that brought about the jealousy. Something that he didn't even do on his own. But God permitted that to be there just so that it would create the scene that God needed to be created. There's just certain situations in our lives, saints, that God needs to be created. Amen? And it's his hand, but it's to push us into our positions as sons and daughters of God. God allowed Joseph to have the dream that he had. He didn't dream that of his own. God gave him that dream because it pertained to his life and theirs. Even though they weren't able to see it at that time. So as he's coming afar off, behold this dreamer of dreams. And God let the thought come into their minds, let's kill him. But then he anoints Reuben to say, no, we're not going to go that far, because just like he did with Job, you can do this and that and the other, but don't take his life. God needed Joseph alive so that he can enter into all those stages of his life to bring him out on the end, saints. After being dealt with by his brothers, thrown into a pit to die, you can imagine how he felt as a natural man. Notice he didn't have the Holy Ghost, even though he was anointed with the Holy Ghost.
So by a wrong nature, a sin-born nature, he's having to endure with all these situations, and he grew up with his brothers. They loved one another. They played together until these factors were introduced. Yeah. Now he's in a pit. Imagine what he was feeling like. Confused, hurt, not knowing what's going on, trying to find a way to get out. He didn't even know he was going to be able to make it or not. I'm pretty sure he probably thought, I'm a dead man. Now his brothers are standing, or they're rather sitting down around where they threw him in the pit at, trying to think of what they were going to do to him and how they were going to try to, you know, come up with a situation in the store to be able to share with their dad. Oh, some beast killed them. But I want you to understand this, saints. All of that was by the hand of God. Joseph's dad had to tell him to go see about his brother at a particular point of time within that day. Because that group of people that he was going to be sold to, they had already begun to be directed by God from wherever they were to begin to come down a certain path. Glory to God. Predestinated trials, saints. God bringing together the timing so precisely to after he got thrown into the pit, they were well on their way and they were almost there. And while their brothers thought what to do with them, now all of a sudden this group comes by. And the fault comes, let us sell him to this group. It couldn't be another group because he had to go to a certain destination. Completely out of his knowing, hurt, wounded, scarred. But it was the tender hand of Jehovah. Amen. Leading him what? Leading him to his progression. Leading him to the advancement and to his position and purpose that God had for him in his mind. Amen. Now I just want us to pause on that thought and consider ourselves. You're no different. All of the unfortunate, not so good parts of your life, glory, is put there to help to push you into your position. Amen. So now, don't let the devil pervert your thoughts and just have you so focused on a certain cycle of wrong thoughts until now your situation does nothing but depress you, hurt you, and just drown you in sorrow. Now it's hard for you to be positive. All you can do is be negative. Now you're bitter. Now you're holding grudges. You understand? That's because we miss the mind of God. But as we humble ourselves and allow those hurts and those harms to be turned into prayers, amen, even for the individuals, amen. Pray for them that persecute you and despitefully use you. Amen. God wants those prayers, that hurt, those situations to now become a platform for prayer. Sincere prayer for the individuals. So Joseph goes through everything. And now, saints, let's just, because I'm trying to wind this down here. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Genesis 45. Because in the process of him going through everything that he went through, he got thrown into the dungeon. You know, he was brought out because the Lord allowed his gift to be a blessing to him, to bring him out and to take him, you know, into Potiphar's house or what have you. But then he was lied on and the Lord allowed him to, you know, just kind of escape all those things and move even further up, right? Or rather, you know, he was lied on. That's how he got in there. And then the Lord allowed that course to take him on out and on further up the ladder, right? So now in the midst of all of this, he had memory. He was still a natural man. He could remember what Potiphar's wife did to him. He could remember what his brothers did to him. And don't you think the enemy really wanted to lodge different thoughts in his spirit? He had, rightfully so, right? Being dealt with like that. Like I said, when you remember something, you relive it all over again. That ability lied there, but it showed that God, by his grace, was able to bring him to a place of needful surrendering. To where what should have happened isn't what happened. Right? And now we come to chapter 45 In verse 4, and Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you, and come. And they came near. And he says, notice this now, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Boy, you can imagine what those men thought. They got weak. Because he was a powerful man now. Right? They said, what? Oh, we gone. We know what we did to our brothers. We talking about we wanted to slay him and what have you. And now he going to have us slaves. See? You know? But notice this now, because God was molding him and shaping him throughout this entire ordeal. And I want us to look at ourselves. This is what your trials are supposed to produce for you, saints. Amen. It's supposed to allow you to climb so high in the love of God until you become lost in him. And all people can do is see him. When they see you, they experience what he would do. Glory to God. Brother Branham, what are you going to do? That young couple that was in the church making out. Ask what you will. If you say death, they'll pack them out. If you say blindness, ask what you will. And it left them. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? He says, and before I know it, I heard myself say, I forgive you. Where did that forgiveness come from? The same place Stephen's came from. While they were stoning him, while they were killing him, he asked for their forgiveness. That their sin not be laid to them. Are we able to see things in that same way? If you're not now, it's accessible to you. Man, the man was shaking. Probably about to faint a little bit. Oh, Lord. It's Joseph, our brother. But this is what the work of God, the touch of God, brings into a person's life. He says, now, therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves. He says that ye sold me hither. And I love this, saints. Now you can see that he was fellowshipping with the Lord. Amen. Now he was expressing God's mind. A sin-born man without the Holy Ghost, but being able to live in such a place to now, he receives the mind of God in this way, meaning God revealed these things to him, and it comforted his heart. It enabled him to be able to let everything go. He says, for God did send me before you to preserve life. God allowed you to handle me in that way for this reason right here. It was a part of my growth. It was a part of his brothers. It was a part of your own natural salvation at this time. Because I'm the one that's in this position right now, then you all are going to be blessed and helped in your time of need. It's a blessing, saints, to be able to forgive. 1 Peter 2:21, as we come down to a close. I got so much more, but I feel to just bring it, just draw it right down right now. 1 Peter 2:21, it says, for even here too were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. It says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. He says, but it says he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Romans 12:14, it says, bless them which persecute you. Bless, he says, and curse not. Requirements. The word behavior, it means the way in which one acts or conducts oneself, especially toward others. And these two quotations here, you're well aware of it, but I think it kind of is very fitting to the closing of this particular service, saints. Adoption, number 3. He says, now placing the son, first thing after the son was in, he become a son. But then we find out his behavior is what set him to adoption. whether he behaved right or not. How many realize it's adoption time? Now, adoption has always existed, right? Okay? But God is dealing with every one of us to bring all of us into this adopted state. The last one, saints. He says, that's the reason, brethren, that we're holding up the adoption of God. He says, as our difference of life and fussing and quarreling amongst one another is the reason the veil can't drop behind us and we can go into that presence of God. Behavior. It's very important. But don't worry. God is going to make sure we arrive where we need to be. It's in the making right now. All we have to do is yield ourselves. Pray and allow God to take us out of those wrong frames of mind, out of our hurt, out of our emotions, that we might enter into a more clear view of what's going on. Amen. And in that place right there, then you're able to say, as you're elevated into his height and by his mind, now you're able to see it's not them. Like Brother Branham said, it's never your brother nor your sister. Right? I remember he said that. It's never your brother or your sister. He said it's the devil that does those things. And in that place, now you're able to say, Father, forgive them. Because they're not even really aware of what they're saying, what they're doing, or how they're affecting me. Glory, that's the climax, saints. The pyramid being capped off, huh? With divine love. The person of God in full control in every one of our lives. I thank God again for my time being here. The quality of the atmosphere, it just enables just a freedom and a liberty. I've been ministering for over 20 years now. That's very precious to me, man. You know? So I'm grateful that the Lord is blessing you all in that way. So we just pray for one another. You know, because I believe I'm one by the grace of God. You don't boast, but as you go through life, you move away from doubting all of your experiences to God. God just brings about such confirmation or whatever to help you to accept the fact of who you are. Because it's something outside of you that you begin to see more visible in you. You know, so we're grateful for that. May the Lord bless each one of you, your families, this church, and he is. I don't even have to say that. He's doing it because you're his family. God bless you all. Let us stand together. And let's give him, saints, a hand clap of praise. Thank you, Lord. As we bow, Heavenly Father, oh God, real life situations, Lord. For all of us, Lord, we've had very difficult moments, very difficult times. And even what was ministered on this morning, Lord, we've seen both sides of it. There's many testimonies that you've given us, Lord, many victories over ourselves, Lord. But you allow more battles to come, Lord. You allow more situations to arise, Father. Because it's through that way, amen, that our perfection comes, Lord. After we've suffered for a while, then you said you will establish us and make us perfect. Amen. And our prophet taught us by your spirit that our perfection lies within our patience. As we wait on you, Lord, we can't do anything for ourselves. You allow us to be in these life's lessons, Lord. And Lord, we have to wait on you, Father, and you allow that delay to be there, Lord, for the strengthening of our inner man. Just like the chicken inside of the egg, it had to pip its way out. It couldn't be helped, but it had to go through the full experience of the struggle. Amen. To come from in that enclosure to be able to enter into life. But through that experiences, through those experiences, is much strength that's being added to that little chicken, Lord, that's going to be needful to be able to thrive in the world that he's entering into. That's why you allow our trials to come, Lord, and sometimes you allow them to linger for a while. Your prophet also taught us by your spirit, Lord, that you love to sit back and do nothing. Allow your child to be in those situations. You're very present and you can change the situation at any time, Lord, but you don't want to do anything prematurely because you're working everything according to your divine will and wisdom. The time span that Joseph had to go through one situation after another, after another, after another was years. But it took those years for him to come into being that final product, Lord. Amen. The way he was able to see things in the right light, Heavenly Father, all bitterness and all hurt and all complexes being able to be, amen, purged from his being, Lord. That he might say when he came into the face, Lord, of his brothers that sold him off like they did, Lord, that don't be hard on yourselves. Because he came to realize it was you, Lord, that allowed the whole thing to happen for the preserving of life. Help us all, Father, in our individual lives to just settle down with you, Lord, more than what we ever have before, so that you can help us to come into that real expression of your divine love. It's already in us, Lord, but it needs to be expressed more. We love you, Lord God. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this service. We thank you for one another. We commit our lives into your hands, Lord, and ask that you would grant us all traveling mercies to our respective places. We ask all these things in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you, saints.
There's no room left in me. All those wasted hours and minutes, they're yours now from the start to the finish. I need more of the way it's got to be. I need more of you. Till there's no room left in me. All those wasted hours and the start to the finish, I need more of you in me. One more time. Oh, I need more of you. And that's the way to be. I need more of you. Till there's no room left in me. All those wasted hours and minutes, they're yours now. From the start to the finish of you in me. I saw love.
mercy and grace. I saw love, mercy and grace. I envisioned His beauty. I looked on His face. I saw love, mercy, and grace. Oh, I saw love, mercy, and grace. I saw love, mercy, and grace. I envisioned His beauty. I looked on His face. I saw love, mercy, and grace. Oh, now I saw love, mercy, and grace. I saw love, mercy, and grace. I envision His beauty. I look on His face. I saw love, mercy, and grace. When I look into Your holiness, when I gaze into Your loveliness, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of You, when I found the joy of reaching Your heart, when my will becomes enthroned in Your love, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of You. I worship You, I worship You, the reason I live is to worship You. Just sing a couple more here before we're dismissed. I'm certainly glad, though, I came to the house of the Lord, and I know you are too. Let's sing that song, He Abides. Actually, put it in F. Well, He abides, He abides, oh hallelujah, He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way. for the Comforter abides with me. He abides, oh, he abides. Oh, hallelujah, he abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. Now I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the hand of God in all my life I see. And the reason of my bliss, yes, the secret all is this, that the Comforter abides with me. Oh, he abides, he abides. Oh, hallelujah, he abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. Once my heart was full of sin, once I had no peace within, till I heard how Jesus died upon the tree. Then I fell down at his feet, and there came a source of peace. Now the Comforter abides with me. He abides, he abides. Oh, hallelujah, he abides with me. Rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. Oh, he abides, yes, he abides. Hallelujah, he abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. So amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now You're dismissed as we sing this song, but until then. But until then, my heart will go.